I'd like to call the meeting to order and stand for the flag, please. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay, we are going to start the meeting with a meeting with Sean Gelden to discuss multiple topics there, Sean. I'll pass it over to you.
I thought I'd stop and give you some information about Fairhaven Rescue Squad. I'm heavily involved with that. And I know you folks are working on the budgets this time of year, and this is when the per capita request and everything came out, so I want to give you a heads up of what they may be looking for. They are looking to bring the per capita rate to $71. I believe it was $69 last year, I think. And I wanted to give you some information about what the squad's been doing. They're running just over an average of 100 calls a month now. Well, the call volume is pretty steady. They are maintaining a full staff, at least two people on duty 24/7. People get confused sometimes, you know, because they'll see the ambulance in Pulteney or another town. Well, there's a mutual aid agreement, and you have to support other areas just like they would come help us. So say that crew is on a call and the second emergency comes in, you may see an ambulance from another town come to town to try to help you out just like we go there. It's a community that has to work together. There's just no way to stand alone in this field. About a third of the budget comes from the town fundings of the operating budget, approximately a third. And I find it interesting that of the bills that go out for the 911 calls and the non-emergent transfers, the squad usually gets paid about 65% of what the bill is. So if the insurance companies and everybody paid their bill, we probably wouldn't need a per capita. But I just thought that was pretty interesting. It was pretty comparable to what is lacking. And also, there's been a big push to increase the skill set of the EMTs and the staff that's working there. A lot of people don't realize there's different levels of provider. So there's someone that can drive and help with CPR and that level. There's the EMT basic. They can do a few things. Advanced EMTs can do IVs, and the higher it goes up into the paramedic, critical care paramedics, can do a lot more interventions. And there's a lot more advanced EMTs now than we've ever had. And a lot of the staff is enrolled in classes in improving that and the overall level of care that you're likely to get out of Fairhaven Rescue is improved tremendously in the past couple of years. There's a lot of advanced EMTs in the ring. So they're doing pretty well. But anyway, I can answer any questions or try to. If I can't, I'll tell you I can't.
Okay, Jeff?
So I know Regional Ambulance Service puts out appropriations to towns and surrounding communities, and I think we've historically been one. It's been a smaller line item. I'm just wondering if there's opportunity for Fairhaven Rescue to go do the same with other communities to help kind of offset or drive down the per capita cost for Fairhaven residents.
We do get a per capita from the towns that we serve.
Okay.
We serve Hubbard in West Haven, Benson, and Fairhaven. So we do request per capita rates from them as well. That amount, that's actually a sore spot with me. That regional, there's some really talented staff at Regional Ambulance. There's some really good people there. And many years ago, we had almost no paramedics. Now, you're very likely to get a paramedic level provider out of Fairhaven Rescue when you die by someone. So what would happen, like I'm a basic EMT, so my job is to get the patient to somebody smarter than me as fast as I get. So if I pick up a patient that's in bad shape, I pick up the radio, and if there wasn't a paramedic or advanced provider available here, I go, can you have a paramedic meet me? So that's what was happening a lot, was regional would send a paramedic. I'm sure everybody's seen the two ambulances on the highway. That's what's happening, is there a higher level provider is meeting an ambulance. And they did that sufficient. They were providing that service quite a bit, so they ended up asking the town to help pay for a little bit. But now we have a lot of paramedics, and it's I think a lot of people that vote yes to that on our ballots, they see the word ambulance and they think it's very. And a lot of people I talk to think that that is giving money to Fair Amber Ambulance, even though it says Rutland Regional Ambulance.
Other questions?
I have a question. You said advanced EMTs. Now, you said there's normally two people on 24/7. Is at least one of those always an advanced EMT?
No, it is more frequent than it has ever been, and it's very likely that's what's going to be there. But staffing is what it is. It's potential. It's possible you could have two EMT basics.
I believe I there's a once a year you have a mail alert that goes out to all the residents,
Yes.
and there's a you can donate and pay for like a an insurance
Yep, they call it a
arrangement,
subscription.
a
Yes.
subscription and
Yep.
everything. What percentage of your budget is that people actually do that?
I don't know. I know it was about 10% of the population historically would do the subscription. I don't know how much of the budget, what percentage of the budget. I could find out if you want to leave me your number or contact information. I can find out and get it back. It's not a tremendous amount, but it helps. And I think that does better when we put out a message that we're trying to fund something particular. It seems to be like 1 year we were looking to upgrade the AEDs or the cardiac monitor. And some of the money weren't. I think people are more apt to do that when they know it's going for a particular topic, particular thing.
But before we keep asking, I want to make sure the board members get a chance to ask the questions first, and then we'll get it. Any other questions from the board? None.
I know that the ambulances that we have here are huge, and they're practically a talking room in some respects. Has there ever been any thought to having a smaller ambulance for less serious calls or whatever? Because I know that the in Europe, a lot of the ambulances over there are more like the size of a hearse.
Are the last ambulance we purchased, and it doesn't affect the service it's providing, skill set, because it's a struggle, recruiting and retention. So I don't know if we would really do a good service by targeting a lower level of care, but we did, if you're talking about a cheaper ambulance, for instance, the last ambulance we purchased is a smaller unit. A lot of that is more accepting. Because state protocols change. For instance, say a CPR call. Years ago, it was common to do CPR in the back of an ambulance on the way to the hospital. Now, and it's partially, I would think, because the level of care being provided at the scene is greater. There's a lot more advanced EMTs that can do more. They have a lot of paramedics, so they can do damn near everything they can do in the emergency room. So they run the protocols, and if the person wasn't going to survive, then they call Med Direction while they're still working, and Med Direction says, either to stop or to continue, or so you're doing less of that type of call in the ambulance. So our last ambulance, I believe it cost about $160,000. The big ambulances that you see going down the road, they're about $250,000. It's amazing how expensive those are. But then, I mean, it's a good point. That's a way that we did save some money is to we needed an ambulance. The ambulances were, had a couple hundred thousand miles on them and they're getting pretty old. And now we have a schedule. We hope to replace an ambulance every 3 years, which can, we have three ambulances right now. So that would make it no ambulance more than 9, 10 years old, is what the plan would be. That would be the ideal thing.
Just a question. I mean, since you have approximately 100 calls per month, is that 100 calls for Fairhaven or 100 calls total? Because my then follow-up question would be, what's Fairhaven basically like just ballpark. I won't hold.
I hate to give a number because I don't want it to be inaccurate, but I can find that out maybe the next meeting come and give you that, or I can email it to you because we do track and I could have it broke down as to what was Fairhaven, what was mutual aid. Well,
And I ask is because when you're like another instance here, and we're up pretty close to 200,000 already, this is getting right. Just like to understand, what am I getting for $200,000
right.
dollars for if I'm spending a lot of money as a very taxpayer, and 50% of the calls are someplace other than Fairhaven. Just
Well, it also, I think, is important to recognize that when the ambulance goes to a call outside of Fairhaven, we're billing your insurance company. So it's potentially bringing some revenue in to help offset some of the cost for the taxpayers as well. I mean, we don't get paid 100% of all our bills, but when we go to an emergency call in Fairhaven or out of Fairhaven, we, of course, bill the insurance companies. So, I mean, that is something, but I can get the information as to how many calls we do for what different thing and get that support if you'd like.
I was just trying to mind my mind because I'm thinking we're covering a lot of areas. When you travel to Benson, West Haven, you're doing the back. Fairhaven's not very big. Yep.
Like you said, though, we have a mutual aid understanding, right? So even though. So, a lot of the calls may be outside of Fairhaven. You have to figure out the other rescue spots that are coming into Fairhaven.
Sometimes.
So, right.
And
So,
West Haven, Benson, and Hubbardton are response areas, just like Fairhaven. So they pay
And
for that
again,
as well.
and I know I'm in a minority when I think that we pay a lot of money for our rescue squad. When I look at what the other towns using Rutland Regional, they aren't anywhere near the 200,000 that we're paying.
Well, the reason is,
Twice as many people and
well, it
$35,000, $40,000 castle.
for one thing, it costs a set amount of money to run an ambulance, so whether you roll a tire or not, and you pay for that by going to your calls and the subscriptions, and the non-emergent transfers help, or you call in another crew to cover a transfer or something like that. So that brings up doesn't bring up to the amount it costs to run an ambulance. So the difference is divided amongst the 911 population you serve, gives you the per capita rate. Now, Rutland has how many nursing homes? Well, they do a lot of non-emergent transfers, and they also divide the per capita amongst the Rutland City population as
And I'm
well.
not finding, but we our rescue squad is an excellent job. But when I have conversations with other towns and everything, and we talk in terms of how do you keep for the taxpayer where you can afford it, and a lot of times the discussion gets back to a regional ambulance because we're already how we're responding right now is getting more and more regional. That what sounds like we're doing Fairhaven. The only thing we're not getting is subsidized as a regional ambulance service with maybe some help when you're at 65% you were talking about that you're getting paid for. Well, why is Montpelier giving us about 20% more than what they do? Because we're truly filling a regional need. So I'm just saying that right now it feels like the cost burden seems to be a little heavy on Fairhaven. That's all. Any other
I
comments?
have one question. Sean, you said you want to replace the ambulances every 3 years. Now, with the money, just say you have one that's going to be due up this year. You sell one of the old ones. What do you guys do with that money? Do you reinvest it back into a new one that you want to get?
It would be up to our board of directors where that money goes, but typically the money, if you sell an old ambulance, the money would go toward the purchase
Of a new one.
of the new one. Which they don't hold their value, great. I mean,
No, I was just curious, so you don't have to pay the full price. I would assuming you would put whatever you get for that ambulance into the new one or whatever else you may need or the department or.
we're trying to budget and plan and have a replay. I mean, God forbid that rig breaks down on the way to a call, or worse, you have a patient in the back already. I mean,
I'm
I don't
sure
know
it
if that's worse or
happens.
not, but at least they have some care, but that's pretty pretty terrifying to think of.
Anything else? Because I see I had three items, so I don't want to take all the time up on just the one. Anything? There's nothing else on rescue squads. You want to talk parade, and then we'll talk spring plane.
Sure. Joe and I have been talking, and historically, the Legion has been involved with planning the parade, and then last year, the rec director tried to do it. It's never really clear what's going on, who the responsible parties were. So we discussed it, and it looks like if everybody's on the same page, that a representative from the Legion would work with a representative of the town, which I believe would be your rec director. And those two people will find a third person, and those three people will plan the parade, call the participants, organize it, get everything going for it. And along with that, I've talked about this a few times, but this the park, Fairhaven is a really picturesque town. The park is great. I really think we're not doing justice to the town as to what this Memorial Day weekend could be. Right now, the Chamber of Commerce rents out booths or spots at the park, and I, as far as I know, I don't know what they do with that money. I haven't seen the town benefit very much from that event. I was involved with planning this parade years ago, and one of the representatives of the chamber then said that it basically covers the insurance. They made around $800 a year or something like that on it at the time. What I'd like to see is let somebody else do it, like the Shriners. I've been talking to a member of the Shriners. I think their name would bring some value to the event, because people love the Shriners. They want to support the Shriners, and work out an agreement where, you'd have to talk about it and decide what he's happy with now. But say 50% or 30% or 20% of what's brought in would go into a fund for the following year's parade. And that way we could build a nest egg. We could build up an amount to where you could eventually, it may take 3, 4, or 5 years, hire the Boston Crusaders or the drill team from West Point or something, because these things cost a lot of money. But if you get a big event, you're going to draw more people in, and that would make the renting the booths in the park more of a value, so more people would do it. I think you would see a snowball effect, and I just think it would be better for the town if we could make this. I think we could make this a lot bigger than we have ever had it.
Question?
Have you, I totally agree with you on that. Have you ever thought about possibly talking to the rec and using the ball fields down back as a great big area for like a town picnic day or whatever? There's fields, there's playgrounds, and then something up here, do the parade, do everything up here, then back and forth. Because we got this whole area of the town that you could.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I haven't thought about it, but I just think this park is a wonderful park, and it, years ago, Virgins did a revamped how they did things, and they made that Memorial Day event was like a go-to event in the state, and I think we could do that as well. And of course, there's nothing confirmed, but it's, you'd have to work out the nuts and the bolts of it, but I did talk to a friend of mine that's in the Shriners, and they are interested. And if not, maybe Knights of Columbus, or I just think like the Shriners especially, they have such a name with them that that would draw just that in and of itself, I think would draw people into the event on that weekend.
Yeah.
These are great ideas. I think I don't want to get ahead of ourselves, though, right? Like, so the chamber has been doing this event for how long now? 20 years, 20 some years, right? Like, and in addition to that, there's the car show, and there's other things that the chamber brings to the town. I'm wondering if there's opportunity for at a start conversations around partnership, right? And I think certainly the chamber kind of leading the conversation there. What kind of support can be offered to the chamber from what organizations? My thinking is more volunteers, more ideas, can always lead to good things. So I like the ideas and where it's going. Sounds like the starting point is a conversation between different parties. That's my thinking.
If I can just add in there, I'm the president of the chamber here now. Took over this last spring. The one of the things is that post-COVID and everything, we've lost several of the big draws that we had before. One guy passed away that he had a lot of the recreational things with the games and some rides and stuff that he's passed on. Suddenly, and the family, his sons didn't want to keep it going, and so that's gone. But your idea of partnering with the Shiners, we would love to, work with you on that. Now, as far as making money, the chamber doesn't really make much in the way of money off it. Mostly goes towards all of the expenses associated with putting it on. I think for the last year, we made like maybe $200, total, as a profit, if you will. I think we're in the process of trying to recruit more vendors to show up, especially stuff that's going to draw and have kids and then bounce houses. And one of the things that's really popular are the pony rides. That's been a huge, huge draw, for the kids especially. So yeah, we would love to have you get the Shriners. You're part of the Shriners.
No, I'm not in the Shriners. I know somebody that was, and I just think that we can do so much better there. I just and like you said, the chamber's not making a lot, and okay, why? What can we do? What can we do to make it? Make money, and I just think it's time for the chair. No offense intended by any means. I know the chambers took a beating many years ago. Apparently, it used to be people would join because they could get insurance through there, and then they stopped that ability. So the chamber lost a lot of members, and they.
The Manchester Chamber folded because that's where they got most of their money, from doing insurance.
Yeah,
So,
and I just haven't seen anything. I know the chamber does the car show, and that's a draw. But and again, I don't mean to offend you by any means.
oh, no.
But I just haven't seen anything that was done for the town as a result of what is. I don't know. It's not advertised. Haven't heard it therefore even advertised.
Well, we're not involved in the parade at all, so.
Or that event,
But
but yeah.
we do advertise the spring fling.
Right.
And after hearing about the person who used to have some of the kid events and things, Pete, does you know somebody?
Yes. I have my brother-in-law owns a business with bounce houses. Dunk tanks. I call them circus tents, the great big tents. I think maybe he'd be very interested. We help him, he helps us. One hand washes the other. I can talk with him, discuss it with him. Before you guys leave, I'll give you my contact info, my email, things like that. Maybe I can get a hold of him. He can sit down and discuss it with you guys, and possibly whoever's in charge of, like the rec director here at town, whoever's in charge of it, and go from there. But I think I have a couple connections that can help you guys out with that. And I know personal people that are in the Shriners that I could speak to.
within days. Be like, hey, this is an idea passed by us, the town of Fairhaven. What do you guys think? I have personal friends that would probably be willing to help out that Bar Shriners. So just let me know what you guys need or want, and we can try to get that done. Mark?
These are fabulous ideas. I'm the chair of EDP, and I think all this collaboration sounds wonderful. And Jeff, and I'm thinking, I hope we might do one. I think
Right.
we even extend the hours a little bit because currently it's 10 to 2, right? And maybe something like 10 to 4. We can really time all the businesses and help support all the businesses that are open and get at them supporting you and the event and just sort of really make it big because I think it's a wonderful thing. And the longer people are there, the more they're going to participate and fundraise and all of that. So I think we could all really collaborate and work together.
I think so too.
And try to help each other out.
And I do like all the farmers markets and stuff in Vermont. So I know all the vendors. Keeping it reserved for the farmers market.
I think a lot of this is tied to making the parade better. Even this event, and the only way to do that is more money, and the town doesn't have more money. The Legion already donates a substantial amount. We got to find a way to build that. And I think that's it, this idea. Even if it's like right now, the chamber only makes a little bit. If a percentage of what was rented went toward the following year's parade, well, that might motivate people to get more vendors, to get more, to draw more stuff. And that way it wouldn't hurt anybody. Well, geez, it isn't a fixed amount. So, well, geez, we lost money because we had to pay this amount for the next year's parade. We'll do it by a percentage. And then bigger it is, the more money it's made. Well, I get it.
Exactly. You charge vendors $30, $40 to set up, and they're going to pay it because it's cheap. And then you have funds for it.
Sure.
I'd say like $100. So $30, $40, you're going to profit.
So, in trying to wrap the discussion up, it sounds like a follow-up with Key, the economic development, and Mr. Parks, which would be worthwhile. And then you discuss what you'd like to do. And then we can talk about next steps. It sounds like the big stuff.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Mo
Thank you, John.
moving, I'm going to move this on to item three.
Get some ice.
Get some ice and take care of that from that fall. Meeting with renters for water shut off. Couple minutes early time. Are any renters? Roy, I'm going to take that as a no and move on to amendments to the agenda.
I have one amendment, sir. I'd like to propose amending the agenda to have an executive session under 1 PSA 313A1 for attorney-client communication.
Do I have a motion?
I make a motion that we move on.
Second?
I will second that motion.
Sam, second the motion. We know what we're doing. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Any other amendments to the agenda? Hearing none, I'm going to move on to item five, approval of the minutes from October 14th. I'll entertain a motion. Dad wasn't here, so I wasn't.
I'll make a motion and we accept the minutes that it's up here.
Okay, do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Seconded by Keith. Any errors, omissions, deletions?
Where under parking lot, where my comments regarding Castleton and Hubbardton and the SWAP are concerned. So as a point of clarification, Castleton and Hubbardton will not be joining their transfer station operation with Fairhaven. They will be leaving the Rutland County Solid Waste District. They will be joining the SWAC. They will be joining the Solid Waste Alliance communities. They will not be joining our transfer station operation. They will continue to have their own transfer station, which they currently have. Castleton and Huck share one, and that will remain the same. There will just be some administrative functions that will be shared as part of the SWAC, which I unfortunately, as the newest member of the SWAC, can't speak more specifically to what that looks like. But I did want to clarify that.
Okay. I have a motion and a second to accept the minutes. So I and with those with that clarification.
Correct.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Abstain.
Forgot about that.
Department head reports.
You got me, Nate. Nate should be here in just a few minutes to talk about his budget. But we'll start with Halloween. So Halloween's on Friday. And I saw a lot of folks on Facebook asking when is trick or treating? Trick or treating in Fairhaven is always 5 to 8. I actually found an ordinance for trick or treating. I thought, okay. That was our guiding principle right there. So it's always 5 to 8 in Fairhaven. This year, as everybody knows, we're shut down most of the center of the village. So just be cognizant of that when you're coming home from work, or try not to leave. Don't be careful. Okay.
So we
got a thank you from the Mountain Jack from the Lumberjack Show. They came in and said thank you for letting us use the park.
The question?
It's just a simple question. I live in the neighborhood and I do like the idea of open streets. I'm a huge Halloween fan, and so I love it. Just asking, is there going to be how will that shutting down of the streets work? Will there be barriers, or will there be officers that are letting people through who do that? They're like, I'm just thinking about people who maybe work a night shift,
and
you are coming home during that period. How do we do that?
we talked in our last meeting about people who live there after we shut them down. That the chief was here, and I don't want to misspeak, but didn't he mention it'd be something that he would just move? People, we're not trying to stop people from going home.
Right, of course.
Right.
So there will be staff or officers who will be making sure
that I wasn't that clear on, because we whether it I'm not so sure they'd be just staff at every, because we have a lot of streets that are down.
Right.
It might involve, and don't let me get in too much trouble there, Joe. That's why I know you're, but you, if you pulled up and no one's staffing that and you're going home, you move the barrier, drive through, put the barrier back and go in there. That might have to happen because we don't have enough.
Look, I just see there's a lot of conversation where people are asking, how's that going to work? So it might be good to get out ahead of the, so people don't argue about it, because things can get negative real fast, just to get ahead of it and say, here's how it's going to work. And then people know, and it's like, oh, okay.
And just be cautious. When there's a bunch of people out, don't leave your house and go to the store for a soda, come back home. Oh, I forgot this. Oh, I forgot. Just be cautious. Don't go in and out 100 times,
The intent was not to stop people and not be able to go home after work.
I love the idea of trying to make it safer. So not trying.
And that's why we shut it down, is to try to make it safe so nobody gets hurt.
Yeah.
Nobody gets.
Awesome.
So moving back to, we got a nice thank you. I'll go right segue right back into you, and that leaves Nate. And a nice thank you from the lumberjack.
Yes. The young lumberjack show said thank you for supporting them, and they said they'll be back next year.
Good.
We'll talk about the police department. No police chief tonight, but a couple of his highlights. We had 7 arrests, 104 arrests so far in 2025. Running the numbers, 119 traffic or municipal violations were issued in the last 2 weeks. 62 written warnings were given. No parking violations, 3 car crashes, 0 overweight permits were issued, though we did find a couple of trucks that do need overweight permits, and they will be buying their permits presently. We've completed 12 sets of civilian fingerprints for employment purposes, and that brings that number up to 307 this year.
Questions from the board on the police report?
How many arrests in the 2 weeks?
Seven.
Yeah, I said seven.
So it's 104 to date.
Okay.
From the manager's office, we've had a little bit of trouble out on 4th Street with that sewer line. It collapsed. We fixed it. We found another portion that was collapsed. I think they're digging tomorrow.
Jetting a camera in tomorrow.
Okay, so we're looking for that other portion that's damaged tomorrow. Closing Carnarvon, we talked about that. The loan documents. So we have our loan documents have all been signed for the big water project, and those have been pushed through the bond bank. We should be able to draw down on those funds this week, maybe next week. So that's very positive. The skyline study is moving forward. We should be expecting, I am expecting a preliminary report from that group tomorrow. I'm going to meet with their staff and their contractor to talk about what's going on site. Crosswalk signs, one of them went up today. Nice job, team. Thank you. I also had to insure those signs, just heads up to the board. Because they're so expensive, I called and they said, oh yeah, make sure we get those on the list. So those are insured, and so are the stuff down at the playground. The containers also needed to be insured, which I just learned about. So that's all taken care of. From the water plant, from the sewer plant to the rec water plant, I submitted a $250,000 grant to Bond Bank to replace our filter system in the plant. Those are about 43 years old now. And it's time. They've outlived their useful life, and it's time to replace those. And from our zoning department, the planning commission worked through and approved their PUD and historic zoning changes. So those are all set on their side. Now the board of selectmen will have to have a hearing to finally ratify those, much like what we did with the last zoning information.
And PUD for us?
Planned urban development?
Urban development or something that often.
And, okay, so I brought this up before, but I want to get it out there because I really want to do this. So Fairhaven, I got to it too late, but next Halloween, there's a Guinness Book of World Records record for the most people dressed as a ghost in one place. I want to do that. I want to do this next Halloween, so stay with me. About a year from now, get everybody in a bed sheet, and we'll be in the park.
Not a good idea. I'll be here.
With me. Get your mind. It's going to be very positive.
I've had a lot of years in Mississippi, so yeah.
And that's my report before it goes in.
I'm just reel this all right back in. And move on before any of us get in trouble. That's a good update. Yes.
Does Nate need to do this?
Yes. Why don't we, Nate, anything you want to, from DPW, want to report on what's going on?
Maintenance. Started bulb grading. It's a longer process. Been picking at mowing. Trying to button up things. We got the sewer to do tomorrow. We'll be winterizing the trailer this week. Taking out a fountain. This big list and taking out slowly.
And you've got a brand new salt shed for those that haven't seen it out behind your DPW. That they did a nice job, Rich, helping them with the wood there too.
Rich and Doug did a lot of it.
Yeah.
Big thank you for them.
Where is this guy?
Well,
right
behind our new facility on 790
Blue
Airport Road.
Oh, so it's up there.
Yeah.
It's a, I mean, it's a salt shed that we talked about for years doing. It got up to where it was pushing close to $1 million. Right. And we got a salt shed in for under $100,000. So that was Pretty good. Nice job. Anything else? Any other questions we know? Okay. We're going to move on to no old business, no new business. Budget review for DPW. Is what the bulk of our work is about to be. So you want to kind of have any words you want to say before we pass it up to you and me to talk?
Yeah, let me cue it up just a little bit because there's some numbers in here that I found probably have questions about it. First thing, I got some numbers from Belden to replace the sidewalks for downtown Fairhaven, and that number is in front of you. That number is $367,000. I don't think it should go in the budget because that's like half of the budget already. But as we move forward and try to improve the community, I didn't know if this is something the board wanted to put on the ballot or not, but I wanted to get out there during the discussion of public works just to get it on your radar. The next thing I'd like to explain just a little bit about is your public works salary lines, right? So I got this document in front of you. It's got a highlighted sheet, a highlighted section on it. Now, this is the most difficult thing that we're going to deal with during the budget discussion because public works salaries cut across almost all of the departments, right? So if you look at this, you'll see these salaries go from streets and side, from summer work and winter work, transfer station, even water and sewer has some salaries in there for public works use. This makes it confusing because when you look at the budget, you say, well, why did this go way up and why did that go way down on the salaries? This year, well, let me start with way up and way down. What we do is when we try to we take the big pot of money of salaries, everybody's money from all the departments for public works, and we spread them across those departments. And we spread them across as the average use in those departments turns out to be. So maybe over the last 6 years, summer work was 11% of all of public works money. So you get 11% of those salaries in that line. Maybe only 10% of the salaries go to winter work, so you'll see that number be 10%. Sometimes it goes down, other places it goes up. So it all, at the end of the day, what we call that is we're regressing to the mean. We're always trying to come back as close to the average as we can year over year. This year you'll see large increases because we did not account for the union contract in the year we're in, and that was almost 12% increase across the board. Compounded by that, we're talking about next year's budget. That's an additional 2% per union contract, right? Mm-hmm. So we got an average of 12% for 2025, for 2026, the year we're in, and then 2% moving into next year. So that totals almost 14% increase. You're going to see some big numbers, and that's because of the union salary increase.
And did we also do where we had a few people that position structure wise, we were paying them at the low end, and we had to, in this contract, we fixed those and got them closer to the mean.
Yep, absolutely. And it's the same with the police department. Over the years, we see that sometimes our salaries tend to drift downward. We're in the same labor pool as Rutland or even Middlebury. So we have to compete with labor, skilled labor from around the area. So we brought some people back up to make us more competitive. What that really means is we're back up, but our staff is making what maybe other towns were making last year. Does that make sense? Because we're using a little bit of old data, but yeah, we brought a lot of people back up to make us more competitive in the labor market.
Questions or what Phil just covered from the board? Okay. Nate, anything you want to add? What I thought we'd do on this is do like we normally do. Let's just take and we've got the DPW budget, and I want to go line item, and see if you have any questions. So why don't we start with the, we'll start with 030, and it's the 5110, which is the Public Works Administration salary. Any questions or comments in addition to that's a lot of the explanation you just got from Joe on that, of why that is showing such a large increase.
And you'll see that on a lot of the salary lines.
No comments. My initial comment was, it's the big one here. And say, okay, help me understand that number. But it's a 5-year contract that we did, and we fixed some things. And the next one, anything out of the Public Works admin, as I'm coming down through those, is there any of them? The next two were the same. It's level overtime, office supplies. I'm going to move along pretty good. There's 030-5100-21 operating supplies. Any question on that 8% increase on operating supplies? No?
What's included in operating supplies?
So that's, I got a couple notes here. So that's a kind of fixed cost. So we have to pay for this stuff. This is Durfee's boots for our staff that we're required to pay for through contract. Foley's and Cintas are uniforms. WB Mason, so water and paper and that kind of stuff. And then toilet paper, paper towels. Just basic supplies to keep the guys, keep the crew moving.
Is the FY26 number actual or what?
That's the budgeted number. Actuals in actual is in 25
with 6,000. Yeah. And with the new contract, we took the shoe allowance, and we found we were a little short on what they were charging for shoes these days, and that's basically, I think shoes took the bulk of it.
Yeah, it's good work.
But I just wanted to, that was a big enough change. I wanted to make sure we all understood. If there's nothing else under Public Works Admin, I'm going to go into Summer Work, which is 030-5110.
That went down.
And I'm down to 030-5110-22 repair maintenance supplies, which had a $2,000 increase. And it looked like our actuals for 24 and 25 were 5,000 and 2,000. So our proposed budget of 7,000 on that. What was the logic there on why that repair maintenance supplies went up? I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying we took a pretty good jump. I'm just curious what it is that we're.
And what does that consist of? Like tools and things, or
Nate? You see what we're looking at?
Yeah, I think 5110-22.
Yeah.
It was like a 40% increase from the 5,000 we had the year before. We brought it up to 7,000. We added 2,000 more.
That will be a right range, or probably like chainsaws, sawing and repair, or any type of repair or maintenance or paint, but not paint for like throws, because that'd be a different line, but like paint the bodies and stuff like that, or like rod.
But are we the cost of the paint and everything has gone up that much? See, I'm just trying to get, or is, I didn't know if, and I don't have the Excel spreadsheet in front of me, but if some of it's because we're doing more maintenance, we're anticipating doing more maintenance on some of the equipment. So I was just looking at the logic of why it increased. If
The chainsaws, are you buying new chainsaws or are you just repairing, like sharpening and just
Well,
getting new chains for the ones that you have,
yeah,
or?
like I said, this is like it covers like a broad thing, but no, we don't buy chainsaws every year. We throw like chain breaks or something.
I was just curious. That's
No,
what
it's
I
okay.
mean, it's.
No, yeah, pretty my other paper, but yeah, no, it's myself who came out
And
here.
the reason I asked the question is, what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to find money for there's some things we aren't funding, like
Okay.
in the initial past didn't have any money in for economic development. I'm saying $2,000. If we don't have a good reason for going up $2,000, that's $2,000 I'm sitting over here.
Well, I got the like some of that will cover like concrete blocks that we got for everything like those. And I put in extra money for redoing the pond for the mountains stuff because it's ugly,
The
areas.
one in the park.
Yeah. There's a plastic hub there for the fountain there and well it's pretty much filler tape. We got patching the holes. So that I put in,
Yeah,
and repair the gazebo itself there. That needs work to be done too.
to add some context, I mean, we're what, 4 months into the fiscal year, and we've expended 44, almost 45% of that $5,000 budget that we have for FY26. So it's 6,000 or 7,000 isn't really a stretch. We're going to look at a 12-month period.
Because we're spending over what we had budgeted for, we don't have an
Yeah.
actual for that. Okay. No, I just there was the reason the logic was I was just saying that the reason for going up and you try to see what you're going to do different.
No,
You're
it's
going
good.
to buy blocks. You're going to fix a pond that wasn't in what you normally did last year.
Yeah,
Now, yeah, in the.
the pond on the fountain out there needs to repair like seven. Like last year, the mulch for the free parking came out there too. So obviously that's an added expense that's pretty much yearly. And they do, look presentable.
Okay. Look, I'm not asking a tangent. I just was curious
No,
about
I'm
it.
just giving you the
Yep.
note that I have.
All set, guys.
There's no budget anywhere for park maintenance. Would some of that come out of park maintenance? Or could it come out of it?
You don't have a park maintenance line, no. You have a reserve fund that was created for park maintenance, but a lot of that went to when the recreation committee wanted to buy items for the ball field. All of that money went down there.
All right, we can leave it there. We'll see. We'll hope for now.
And leave it for now.
Next line was didn't change. So I've got 030-51-22.4 maintenance supply gravel. That we went from 6,000 to 7,000. We went up another 1,000. We need more. And again, the reason I ask is $2,000, $1,000, there's $3,000. You're able to get some money. What gravel? Is it the cost of gravel? That, I was just curious. Cost of gravel gone up or?
Well, it's not just the gravel itself. It's for stone line condition and the water breaks, sewer breaks when we fill the holes. It's just not like gravel as a term of spreading it on dirt roads and grading. It covers the whole aspect of things. Like when we bought stone for the salt shed itself for
And we
the
didn't have it then.
back, it all was like
Did that, I'm sorry, I just, was that a, did you feel like that answered your question?
We're also 76% expended so far year to date
Yeah.
on our current budget.
It was just more of a thing. The real discussion I see that we're going to have is when we get the next is 030-51-10-56.1 outside roadwork where we have our paving. And the one we're looking at had a, went up by 32.6. It was primarily our paving budget, which was $187,000 for fiscal year 26. It shows 248,000. We put additional paving in there. That's in one line item that took a made it very difficult in DPW to keep a 3% increase overall because of that. And I'm curious what the rest of you, what board members feel about, because one of the thoughts, I think I talked to Joe, you, was that extra $65,000 for additional paving, do we pull that back out of there, keep the 187 that we normally have? And I know it's the 65,000 helps us get Scotch Hill moving, but do we do you go in an appropriation and ask, because we're gonna ask for a pretty good increase on our tax rate this time?
Well, that's fine, but if we're going to use it for the roads, put it into the roads and make sure that they're getting done at a reasonable amount of time.
Well,
I mean, is that what you're asking or saying?
But my question is, taking our normal paving budget, 187,000, and adding 61,000 more, we can't just keep adding. Our tax, great. I'm just saying that it may be that people, that paving, the paving, the 61,000 is primarily to help us get more work quicker and more of Scotch Hill. If that's the case, do we leave it at 187,000 and put it as an appropriation? Let our taxpayers tell us they want to spend 61. You know, in the past, in March, it was a $50,000. We've done it a couple different times, and the voters have said, yes, I know it's going to cost us more, but we want it. Do we take that 61,000 out, don't put it in the regular budget, and let the folks decide whether that 61,000, 187 is a lot of money for paving.
Well, pay out that drought you vote for reclaiming and paving 4 inches of asphalt is estimated at 150,000. Mile.
Yeah.
Well, half mile road is going to cost roughly $150,000.
Off the top of your head, how many miles do we need to have paved?
Oh.
Well, Scotch Hill right now, there's 1.8 miles left, and you're looking at around a little north of 500,000.
Right. But I'm going.
But to do your complete rotation, so I think there's like not all roads got to be reclaimed. I think there's 27 miles.
That's
blacktop roll, but if you start doing the math, we do 150,000 per half mile. Your rotation of repaving roads is huge.
And I know you get into the discussion around, do you, sometimes you got to make the call, do you reclaim the full amount up there, or there's a stretch that's really bad that has to be ground and reclaimed?
Well, Scotch Hill itself is all gator back and, you know, whale back and stuff like that. You can't able for that, you're kind of just wasting money. If you do a 2-inch overlay, you're going to be shipping 3-inch
You're going to hear the other part is right. The reason I'm trying to get the 61,000 out of there is because underneath it, if we're going to spend $248,000 in paving, and then underneath it, the outside ditching, they had zero. But you don't want to be digging it up and there was $3,000 there, but we're taking that. And this is 03051-56.2. I'm saying let's take that 61,000, put it in an appropriation. And then if you're going to spend, we've got to do some ditching. If you don't need ditching, why you pave?
If you don't ditch, no sense spending any money at all on paving. Don't buy any paving. We're not going to ditch. We're not going to have drainage. You're throwing your money away.
But I am, by the way, I am looking to put some money into that I wasn't going to use any of the 61,000 that I'm asking you, the board, about whether to put it in appropriation and let the taxpayers tell us whether they want to spend 61,000 versus in the past they've been pretty good about approving 50,000. We might be, I don't know if we're pushing it, but I'd say my proposal is put it in appropriation. Further down on this, when you get out of the summer work in winter work, I'm looking at the 030-5140-21.3, which is the, it's the calcium, I'm probably to say that it's the
calcium fluoride, is that what it
calcium
is?
Calcium chloride. It's taking, instead of regular salt, you're doing the liquid stuff. But I'm saying take that 8,000 and bring that 4,000 up and put it into, or the 8,000, you can bring it up and put it into ditching. Because if you're gonna spend potentially 248,000, I bet you're gonna need that to do the ditching and everything else that you use before you pay. I don't know how you're gonna pay for that. Nope.
No, when you do the ditching, does the town have like a screener? You can like recycle all this, screen it out, reuse it somewhere else, so you don't have to go out and buy, like,
no.
You don't have anything, we don't have anything like that where we can no. just recycle what no, we're taking out.
The ditching material that comes out of the ditches is
no good. It's just garbage.
It's basically filled material. It's,
okay.
It's not, it's sod. It's,
I didn't know if it was something that could be reused for future projects to save some money in the long run.
It's, and the reason, and just again, so you know why I'm asking to take the 61,000 out. Somewhere we've got to come up with some money. So further, not just DPW, I know we're talking DPW tonight, but we need to come up with some money for putting 5K back into economic development. Because we don't have a budget for economic development. We don't have a downtown designation or anything else. It all hinges on having a funding stream. So I'm saying I can't spend it all on paving at the expense of everything else that we have. Also, I want some money to put into reserve accounts. We had to zero out to get for a dispersed pass at the overall budget. We had nothing going into any of our reserve accounts. And I'm trying to find at least 20 grand that I can break down and put some money in about four different accounts there at this, but to get some money to reserve. Whole point saying, and Joe, you can throw a rope and save me anytime you want.
All right.
I'm just saying that it also, when you take that 61,000 out, that huge increase that I see for a 15.9% DPW increase, I just don't see that happening. I mean, we'd go through there, but I'm not sure I would vote that in March. Go ahead.
And with 187,000, like I said, you know, half mile of road is 150 grand. So we did Scott Show this year. It was $6,500 to rent that machine and do shoulder work.
Mm-hmm.
We paid out of that for the asphalt thing. I was told that they wanted to do some shimming on South Main. Yeah. So that's top of my head, you know, 15 grand. I'll say, I don't know the exact number yet.
Sure.
But so like you're chopping that 187. Further and further down, so actually doing road mileage is you're not doing mileage. You're just doing.
What I'm trying to do though, Nate, is say that the 248,000 that you have here, I want you to have 248,000. I just don't want it to. I want to ask for 61,000 to appropriations. If they say no, then no, we're not going to do the full well because we don't have the money. For that. Mm. But if it passes, you got what you asked for. And I'm only basing it on two other times $50,000 for paving went in March. Both passed very easily.
Yeah.
It seems like paving is something we like. And we get supported on. I'm not sure if we put a budget together Because at the end of the day, we also need to pass a budget.
Yeah, the only thing I've got to think for is, like I said, Scott Show about 2 miles. You know, at that price, it'll take you a little over 4 years to finish it. But then you still got Sheldon Road, Airport Road, like your cycle is.
I understood that we didn't do Adams, we didn't do Airport Road because we put the money up on Scott Show, which it needed. But I'm saying we can't just put the blinders on everything like the shimming that has to be done in North Main and just throw all the money on Scotch Hill. We let Scotch Hill go for how many years?
Way too long.
Exactly.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. Now we gotta pay for it now, though. Yeah. We're all for keeping the blinders on.
I'm all for if I don't think we've got enough money to finish Scotch Hill in a year. So we have to put a plan together that says, now it's just a question, is it going to take us 2 years, 3 years? What's it going to, go ahead.
I had a question. I heard a rumor that there was a petition going around to finish Scotch Hill. Is that, did you guys hear this rumor?
I have not.
I wouldn't.
There is.
There may be one. I wouldn't sign it and I wouldn't vote for it.
It's already laid down in wooden cylinders about 6 seconds on it. It's been sitting there for at least a week.
As a taxpayer,
it isn't really. I don't think it is.
So there's,
that's the lowest I've ever seen for signatures.
Exactly.
So there's a petition out for that, and then we're asking for another petition for additional 61. Is that what we're looking at?
I believe there won't get enough signatures.
What that petition is to finish it. So there's no figures on what it's going to take to figure it, finish it. So you can't put that on. You can't put it in there anywhere right now. How are you going to just finish it? That won't fly.
There's no number on the petition?
No.
There's no dollar number on the petition?
No.
Like I said,
okay.
It's a thought and a good thought.
On the petition, there is a $525,000.
I hope there even. Okay, so that's okay.
Again, that's why I wouldn't have my signature wouldn't go on that. I wouldn't vote.
But it's not the right way to do it. We should somehow find some money to pay the trouble.
But you're saying, though,
but the problem,
you wanted to put $61,000 for the taxpayers, but you don't want to put $500,000 to let the taxpayers vote for it.
I wouldn't sign a petition because that kind of money, the average taxpayer in Fairhaven can't afford it. We can't afford it.
No.
You may want it. I have a lot of things I want. Everyone makes decisions.
Oh, I'm just saying, you want people to vote on 61,000.
We have done I'm just saying in the past, we have sat here knowing that we had some critical paving. And I think Scotch Hill, don't get me wrong, Scotch Hill is critical paving. I think if I lived on Airport Road, I'd say that's critical paving. I live on North Main, that's critical paving. It's all critical paving.
But can I say just one thing? Here's what's going to happen. Yes, Scotch Hill, but Scotch Hill went way too long. We know that. We spent a lot of money to regrind it and reshape it and ditch it. The ditching still needs a little more attention, but we'll get there. But in the meantime, Sheldon Road's falling apart. Airport Road's falling apart. Green Road's falling apart. What are we going to do? We can't. I mean, it just isn't any money. And if we don't keep the ditching up, the roads mowed, brushed back, the logs and debris out of the ditches, it's just going to get worse and worse and worse. And we can't have two guys or three guys running around doing everything else in town and not doing the road maintenance.
Joe, okay, you want to say something?
I do, because this is the point that this is today, the screen, is the day you address these problems. If you want more paving done, as a select board member, you say you want more money in the paving line.
Correct.
If you want more staffing, today you say, I want more salary money. Correct. Today is the day to make those decisions.
I hear you.
We can't move on to next week and say, boy, we really need to pave. Because today is the day you put your paving money
together. You're 100% right.
Okay. So, but if we move on to 2 weeks from now and we say we need to find money.
I'm just telling you, this is what's happening. And it's been happening for many, many, many years here in Fairhaven and everywhere.
Paving just can't get done without money. It's just,
I know
we
that.
We can't do
it. I know that.
So this is our time to shine. If you really want paving done, you have to vote for it today.
And I'm saying, absolutely, you can put all you want right here, and our budget will not pass in March. I don't want to. Our budget doesn't pass by a whole bunch year over year. If you go back and look at, last year was the best we did on getting votes, but we've been in within 20 votes, and I think it was within 8 votes of having a budget down. We come in with the kind of money you're talking in that paving line, that budget's not going to pass, especially when we're out spending money, talking about spending money on other things like, because there's some things that need to be done, like the pond and the cement and everything else. But is that more the roads, the sewers, the water, the sidewalks? Those are the critical in that those are the critical infrastructure. You got to do those.
Don't raise the budget, and
we're
not considering that critical.
Every town fights. All I'm saying is the 61,000 on that outside road for paving. That we have in the past taken and said, put 50,000 out for an appropriation. I think now's not the time to put 248, keep this at 15. And when we're all done and we roll it up, we're going to say, especially when you're saying you want this done by January 6th, we're going to be sitting here January 6th saying, my God, we're going to be asking close to a double digit increase for the taxpayers. The taxpayers will not stand for. I don't blame.
So this might be an opportunity, because paving is it really is important to Fairhaven and Fairhaven residents. Everybody agrees we need to have our roads cleaned up. Is this an opportunity to talk about the 1% option tax again? To try and say, hey, let's use this money to pave our roads. Then you can really see where that money goes. It goes on those roads that you're driving on every single day. How do we feel about that?
I agree.
Then you can adjust your budget around that.
I'm totally fine with that. But before we get to that, I just want to ask, why is it taking so long to keep the maintenance of all these paved roads that you say need to be paved, or that we know need to be paved? Why is it taking so long? And now here we are looking at, well, we need all this money. But if they were taken care of throughout the years, where the ditches are being cleaned, everything else being done, we wouldn't be in the situation that we're in.
Have you been to Rutland lately and looked at their streets and everything here? I don't care what municipality you are, paving, the conversation we're having, they beat each other up all the time because paving just over in Castleton, even. You don't have to look too far.
Is there outside, like, grant something that could possibly help?
The only thing that's here is $200,000 grant from the Scottsdale Roads, a fraction of that one got done.
That we asked for 10 years before we got.
So every 10 years we get $200,000.
Yeah.
Or else we would have done literally a half a mile of Scottsdale this year. Mm-hmm. That road's 3.5 miles long.
So yeah. Go ahead.
So I think we've infamously kicked the can down the road on a lot of things in this town, right? And we find ourselves in the situation we're in because of the past decision making, right? And that predates all of us.
Well, I don't know. I was probably part.
Well, during the COVID years, right? We kept the budget low to try to fight against inflation and all of the challenges that we. And we've got to make up for that, right? My thinking is we have the responsibility of deciding what is important to this town's infrastructure, what's important to the safety and well-being of the residents. And if we put streets and sidewalks and any infrastructure items onto appropriations, we're hoping that the voters are going to understand that responsibility. But at the end of the day, if I'm going into a voting booth and I'm deciding between keeping my taxes low and paving a road that I don't live on, that's an easy decision for me as a voter, right? But for me as someone working to try to figure out what the best next steps for the town are, I've got to say, hey, we need to invest in infrastructure today, we're not going to tackle all of it, but this is important enough to have whatever increase that calls for. And then it's our job as the select board to say, hey, folks, here's where your money is going to go if we're going to increase taxes at all.
Which I totally agree on. The heart of this town is right through here. I don't go down these secondary roads because I don't live on them. Like you just said, I don't live on those roads. But I have to go up over those railroad tracks every night to go home every day. That's rough. And to come in and out of this town, where do people have to come from? South or north on 22A to get to this town? I think nothing against these side streets, but let's focus here first, then slowly work back. That's just my opinion. You see where I'm getting at with my point?
One thing that we had, and we still have, there's a paving schedule that looks at every street and everything. Understand all good intentions, because I think, you know, even past decision making, you agree on a paving schedule, just like we were supposed to do Adams Street in the airport. And we're not going to spend the money. We're going to put that money up and get as far as we can. Right decision, right? I think, because I think what we did well. But understand that probably a little bit tougher to explain to folks that are still going up and down Adams and airport here. We have a schedule. We don't have enough money. I don't think the taxpayers, I know I don't, taxpayer have enough money to fix all the paving in one fell swoop. If you're advocating that instead of the 61,000, then going to 248,000, taking 187 and bringing it up to a number less than that, or are you saying, nope, I want that, put it right in?
I'm saying, what do we want to do as a board? Put it in our budget appropriately. I have no idea what $248,000 is going to get me. What, it's 3/4 of a mile? Where is that?
They've taken that and done the, that's how you come up with the budget. Yep. You've already done the math on how much you're going to do.
Even like Shelton Road, but I'll use Scotch Over example. If you're bowl magging it, which it needs, rototilling it, it's around 150,000. Half miles.
So in this budget where we have 248,000, what is the plan for that 248,000?
It'd be sinking up on Scotch Hill to try to help.
All Scotch.
Like you said, we did a little less than a mile and a half of there. It was a mile and a quarter, somewhere around that. Now it's 385,000. Come on, put that.
Mm-hmm.
I was saying, like, if we keep that 187, if we got 2 miles left, I mean, half mile a year, and that's, we're still letting the other roads go by. And you want shim work heading out of town because it's rough and it does need it. But then you're taking, you know, however much that shim work's going to be out of 187,000. Then you're going to want shoulder work, and shoulder work came out of the paving budget. That was 6,500. I mean, the 187 just keeps going down, so you're not doing a road. It's like
this. All I'm saying is, we've already, with our contract increases and everything else, we can't take the amount of money that I'm looking at in DPW. That's way too much of an increase overall. So if you want to keep paving, let's go back up and say, okay, where am I going to take 68,000 of other line items that you have and move it around?
So,
this ain't a wish list, though. I mean, this is stuff that day-to-day operations.
Well, with that being said, sorry, Glenn.
Go ahead.
With that money, could you do one of these other roads and get it done and over with? One of the other roads, whether it be Airport Road or Green Road or the ones that you guys have named off.
Yeah, well, I agree we can't stop because of the upgrade of sewer.
Okay. What about the Green Road, I think Glenn mentioned, and Airport Road? How much will it take to get those done?
Airport Road, They'll probably do the green road. I don't have a measurement on, so I can't give you a real.
But would that money take care of airport roads so that's done and over with and it's off the list?
Yeah, I would feel confident in that, yeah.
So, but I see what you're saying, again, but then you're just going to put before, a band-aid on something.
Right, I mean, we could go and make people on airports happy, but understand we got a project started that we didn't do a thing and put a blind eye to again. They've been trying to get a word in there.
That's not a question. I don't understand anything about paving. But I was told that they're going to, the state is going to repave Main Street this year in 2026. So, like the shim on South Main, is that, do you think the state would do any of that?
They're doing
for Capitol Hill, North Main, Prospect to the brook, to the border.
I just didn't know if the state calls all the time.
Wishful.
Took them 10 years to show us some money to get Scott. You know, I thank them. But if I'm the states.
It was.
The thing like fixing Scott Hill, to keep bringing that up, though, I mean, if that road got all done tomorrow, it's less than fair on the plow trucks. You're using less salt. I mean, you're pretty much burning that road out clean up. When you got 2 to 3 inch hollows, your plow is not grabbing that. So therefore, you're burning the road.
It takes way more salt. It's way more pollution running into the rivers and streams.
And salt went up about a little over $10 a ton.
There you go. So paving and keeping the paving budget the same is actually falling behind because of the price increase every year.
Do we move that up to 200,000?
That's
and the only reason I'm looking at that. I'm still trying to get that. It's only because I still think the only way you get the money you need for paving is to then you would put 50,000 on an appropriation to say, would the taxpayers, if you gave us 50,000 more, we could go.
If we go to 200,000 and then try to do a 50,000 appropriation. You know, if fool before, that's barely keeping up with inflation, really, when you stop and think about the increase in blacktop over the last period of years. But it's a lot.
So somebody pulled out a $525,000 out now, and you want to have pull out another $50,000?
No, I don't believe they'll get the signatures and that 500,000 will get on the ballot. If it does, I don't believe it has a prayer of going.
This is the Scotch Hill ballot that we were referring to earlier at the
Lens
Older. Yeah. 500,000?
No, it's like, what, 500,000?
20% of our budget?
It's 80% of the DPW budget. It's a lot of money.
I think that's a what if that I...
And
I wouldn't even want
to $3 million.
Venture to go ahead. You wanted to say something?
Yeah, just one thought about where to allocate the paving budget, like which road. To your point, isn't airport road going to be a lot more wear and tear with DP, with the DPW office and the salt shed being up there, like especially during the winter, you're gonna have the pile trucks coming in and out and all that. Don't think so.
Well, I'm just saying the armory had heavy trucks going back and forth and everything.
Right.
I don't believe it'll be any more than.
But it's definitely gonna be more
than the armory and the type of equipment they were moving around.
We had animal load pile and stuff. Great.
Like I'm just thinking like the. I can't imagine because I'm up to the airport fairly often, because I park up there. But yeah, I can't imagine,
We're
going to
be running
tractor
trailers up there too.
Yeah,
with
salt.
Can I jump in here with something? You've been sitting here playing Russian roulette trying to figure out what's just the most priority. I can appreciate that. I beg where you guys are. Well, and you're talking about Scotch Hill, you're talking about Greedo, you're talking about. Why don't all of these are residences, right? We're talking about are paying the residential person is paying for all of this stuff, like it or not. Mm-hmm. So why not take each street, whatever, and take the collective property taxes on those streets and see where they fall? Now, granted, this is going to be skewed because we've got a couple of several billionaires. I'm just going to throw this off. I actually saw a Google on this that said the average income in Perry was over $65,000. Sure it is. Yeah, I should throw that one in there. All I'm saying is it's a way of weighing your priority.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's.
And you can rank it. You might be surprised where your most money is coming from. And then you say, okay, does this street need paving or does it?
So, with that logic, we're paving roads with higher incomes first.
Yeah.
Right. And then so there's a disparity.
That's what I'm saying, the disparity. Absolutely. Let me tell you this one. One of the things that rankles me is I live on West Street. We get a lot of traffic through that street, and we get a lot of truckers avoiding the scales. How do you know that? And they're breaking down our shoulders. Now, why don't we have a weight limit on that street? With a fine.
Which one?
West Street for openers.
I think we could look at that.
You've got a ton of traffic coming.
Joe wants to jump.
So as though I appreciate the discussion about tractor trailers on West Street, today's discussion was actually about the budget and paving.
Yeah.
So if we want to get out here, we'll focus on, I mean, to
your point. Let me try to reel us back in. Or on the outside road we're paving, how do you guys feel about changing a 248 to 200K? I like that approach. So we can at least positive moving on it. And keep it in our hip pocket. We can decide after if you want, but the $50,000 for an appropriation. You can decide after. No, I don't want to do that.
I think it's a seven or eight direction.
I really do. I wouldn't be a bit surprised if the $50,000 gets approved and the budget went down. That's the way I see the voting.
I think my personal opinion is I think that's the way to go. Because you're accommodating for the part of the increase that you're going to have to, we as taxpayers, we're going to have to understand that if we want anything done in this town, if we want any of the paving done, we're going to have to pay for it. And I know none of us can afford it, but we don't have a choice at this point. So I think increasing it to the 200 and then putting it the other 50,000 out to the voters, I think is the most logical way to go about it.
And as far as prioritizing, I trust Joe and our DPW.
It's raising at $13,000 is what it's doing.
Yes.
We can't buy very much backed up for $13,000. No. What would that be? Buy about what, four or five load?
It's the six. You need the 50,000 in the appropriation. The line item, I'm going to try to move us into the next line item underneath. That's the outside ditching.
Was that leaving that at 200,000?
200,000 is what I.
200,000 for payment. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And would you be comfortable that we leave it at 200,000 as long as when we finish tonight? And I know your goal was when you're done, you're done. And I'm going, nah, when we're done with this one here. But then when we look at the whole thing, we could come back and tweak something. I know you don't like that, but I'm not buying into, I got to leave here tonight with the final on this. I'll have as close to the final as I can. But if we come back and that percentage increase is too high, then look at everything becomes fair game again. Has to. I know you don't like that.
We got to come up with some sort of a solution
to be made. That's a risk with level funding, right? I wherever we land, whether it's 187, 200, $0, whatever it is, as long as that budget item is what we feel is best for the town, that's my opinion. Putting it out to an appropriations vote is saying, hey, folks, we want to do this, but we don't want to make the decision on
it. You're talking like a nonprofit now. We have to do not what just best for the town. What's the best thing we can do that we can afford for the town? And I can't afford just putting all that money in there saying, well, we've got to have it. Let's go with it.
And we clearly can't afford not to do the things we need to do.
So,
we've done that for so long.
So let's bring up
infrastructure and public safety is what we're here for. And this is infrastructure. Sewer lines are infrastructure, water lines. We've got to keep maintaining, period.
So I absolutely agree, right? The thing that I'm trying to say is we clearly can't afford to do all of our infrastructure needs in one swoop, right? We can't do that. What are we looking to do this year? And that's our responsibility to figure out.
And what we were saying on this one right here is that willing to put 200K into pave this year. If we'll ask for an additional 50 and we'll spend it if we get it. But if we don't get it, I'm only willing to spend 200K. I'm not willing to spend more than 200K at this point. That's what I'm saying.
Then why would we put out another 50 for appropriations?
Because that would allow us to get further down the road. And we explain it on town meeting night when they say, what's this 50,000 for appropriations? It gets us finished on Scotch Hill soon. That's the logic. And the voters want to say no, that's fine.
It's their right. But what about bringing up Joe's point of the 1%?
We have an opportunity, and I think you're working to put some words around the 1%, and you see the message from the board about the 1%. If the 1% option tax though doesn't get the paving done in 2026, understand if we get it approved and we gather the 1% option for a year, if we probably would only have about 100 grand in the bucket. It wouldn't get us there. It still takes time.
But it's a start.
It is. It's
and,
the right
thing. And it's something we can fall back on to help us down the road. We can, instead of trying to play catch up, we could try to get ahead of it once we're already caught up.
That's
my opinion on
that. That'd be a great use.
Towns are going through right now.
Those towns already have the 1%. We're right, the ones that the
bus. Yeah. Because I've taken multiple towns.
But I honestly like the 1% idea. It's just we got to get it to that point. And then once we are kind of, like I said, then we'll always be ahead because we can stay up on things before they just
give
up.
And I'm not, we increases 200K this year. There's some big increases in DPW this year anyway. Next year, after this thing is reset, I think you'll get to it. I won't be sitting there. Someone will be sitting here, and they'll be saying, paving, we ought to take advantage of adding, maybe we can add more than what we did this year, and bring paving up again. And that's how we get there. Thinking you're going to get there, even if you're saying, 2 to 3 years, good luck with that. I don't think you can afford to get there that quick. But
so you want to raise it 15 grand to 200?
187
to 200K. So the showing machine is 6,500 to do it. And the price of oil goes up every year for paving. So we're not like gaining anything. No. Like I'm not trying to. Well, I mean, it is what it is, but we're not moving forward at all.
We're doing better than we've done. This is the highest amount of paving money that we have put in yet.
That's
yes, we
have. True, but we're falling behind on roads. And you said before that Scotch Hill has been taken care of for years. Well, how do we do that with money and time? And if we're not adding money,
if you were sitting here, are you paying taxes in the town of Fairhaven?
Oh.
Pretty easy to spend money when you're not paying taxes in the town of Fairhaven. I'm telling you, I am. And
I am.
You have to pretty well hand, there's a lot of other unknowns out there. We'll get there.
Yeah,
we just can't get there spending.
Not fair state though. Like, I pay taxes where I live, and that goes to paving, and they raise those. But you're going to sit there and say, well, let's do a 1% option tax, and we'll use that so people are paying regardless.
And I'm saying in our budget, there's a certain amount we can afford, and all I think we can afford is 200K. Now, I'm only one person. If the majority of you want taken and throw a bunch more money in there, you have
what I'm saying it. Is always people are expecting work to be done. If roads be fixed, but you can't fix them with hopes and dreams.
We
like
fixed
them. We got lucky, like you said, once every 10 years, we got a $200,000 grant. So this year, we only would have gone a half a mile on Scotch Hill. That's not.
There's choices. There's choices you got to make. I only have this much money.
I know, but the choices we make now.
I'm not ready to spend it all in DPW.
Yeah, but it's not a good way of thinking of like, well, hopefully the new board member next year will vote for more money.
That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that you've got a 200,000. So here, next year probably be sitting there 200,000. Understand, realistically speaking, if what I'm proposing is the $50,000 appropriation, what you really spent was 250. Do I think next year you can afford when you're sitting here to put 50,000 more in? Probably not. We just argued quite a bit to come from 187 to 200. But I think you have the ability to go up again. But again, I don't want to argue with you, but I'm just saying.
No, I'm just saying my point of view on.
Yeah.
Like me being DPW foreman, and I got to answer to people that want roads paved and stuff like that. And they want results. But, you know, we're sitting here arguing about paving, but people want paving. But I'm telling them that some of the board don't want.
People want sidewalks. People, there's a lot of things they want.
But it's not their needs, though.
May I ask?
I mean, not being rude, but we bought a pan with $270,000, and we're driving that thing up there and pounding piss on it because it rolls up for help.
Yep.
It doesn't make sense. I'm not saying we got a miracle and just do it all at once, but we got to make more of an effort. But
okay,
we're spending, like I said, almost $300,000 on one truck, and we're driving up there and pounding on it because it rolls up for help.
I know,
I'm not trying to like argue with you. I'm just stating facts. Like this is the way it is. I mean, if you're comfortable in doing that,
I'm not comfortable spending more money than what we said. Go ahead.
May I suggest that we leave it at the 200 plus the 50 in appropriations at this time? But maybe we can find some other place where we can get a little bit of money to add to it, but we're beating a dead horse. At
oh
this
yeah,
point.
I'm
Roseanne.
That's the obvious on there because there is no other place to get it from. As a matter of fact, we're going to be squeezing other groups even more.
Somebody's going to be very unhappy.
Moving on.
So we're at 200,000.
Yes.
I'm hearing, are we at 200,000?
I'd like to see a lot more, but I just can't see it.
Are you at 200,000?
Take all we can get.
We have three. So I know you're not there.
Oh, no.
But
so
we're 200,000.
The number is fine if we land on that. I think my issue is the procedural piece of taking something into appropriations. That's just a point of issue that I have.
I know.
Right? 200,000. Is an increase? Yeah, it's not enough, but it's affordable
but
potentially.
And I can tell you, for some reason, I know you don't like procedural. We talked last year. Heck, that's That's how everybody goes into appropriation to get additional money in this town for so much. And I, it boggles my mind. I'd love to be where you're describing. That's not the town I live in. That's, I can tell you. But anyway, let's move to the next one here, which is outside hitching, which was zero. I'm telling you, it can't be zero. I don't think. What do you think?
I don't like zero either. I mean, the whole idea about a decent road is the water runs off it, down the ditches, and away. When it can't run off, down, and out of the way, the blacktop just goes, and pretty soon you got a whole bunch of holes, just like Cedar Street, because the tractor trailer just worked that water right in because it can't get off. So that's why the drainage is very important.
Why did we arrive at a zero figure for ditching?
So I was instructed by the board to hit a 3% increase with focus on paving.
Okay.
So many things took heavy hits.
Okay. But it wasn't because we didn't think we could use money in ditching.
No, I'm pretty sure we'll, Nate will. And so you need ditching, don't you?
Oh yeah. No, I think it's totally. I just you were saying, you're trying to get to the numbers, like you're gonna have to cut a bunch. If you want that 3%, then now you're gonna have to cut ditching. You're gonna.
I would like to chime in on ditching.
Sure.
And this is not going to be a popular opinion with my public works department. But you could put $8,000 or $10,000 in ditching, and we could hire somebody to come out with some bucket, scoop it out, scoop those ditches out. At the end of the day, we're still going to have two or three of our guys down there with trucks running back and forth, hauling crap out of there. At that point, it seems foolish to me to pay somebody $10,000 and still have our staff do half of or three quarters of the work. I stand by a zero number there. I don't want my staff to have to go down and do the work and then pay somebody else to do the work as well. I can see that happen.
Have we had any outside ditching done in the past? Because since I've been on the board, I haven't seen any outside ditching.
But
we do in-house ditching.
We do.
When we have time. They're digging graves at the cemetery. They're fooling around with the park. Putting up signs. There's very little time for ditching. And we have no help. So that's got to change in order for us to get where we want to get.
I agree, Mr. Green, 100%. But what does it look like in reality and function? Am I going to have two guys and two trucks and have a local guy with an excavator scooping it up, putting in our trucks and driving to our land?
It's what you got to have more help.
I
two guys can't do a road job.
Are you making the assumption?
Really, honestly.
When I saw the ditching, I wasn't looking to outsource the ditch.
No.
I was looking at saying, here's your budget, DPW, and you're going to, well, what's it going to cost you to do your ditching? If you're going to pay to outsource it, you could probably do it cheaper yourself. But it's going to still cost you. Still need some money, was the point I was
making. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
It seems like everything's coming back to, we need help. We need help. How many guys are you down, Nate?
Or is it just me and two?
How many more do you need to be a full staff?
Four, isn't it?
Well, even to do all the work, you need two to three more people. Yeah, we're not like highway. We do everything from sewer water, digging graves, the park maintenance, and it's literally everything you can think of. DIs, we do it all. It's not like
this. Have you guys been, not to chit, but everything leads back to you guys need help. Have anybody applied? Have you guys, I mean, what are we doing to try to get ahead on that part of it?
We haven't had any money for it either.
But wait.
You guys go in between.
Right.
So in a little bit of history that I learned was as years went on, if somebody left Public Works, budget season would roll up and the board would say, that guy's gone, we don't need him. Bam. There's one guy gone. A couple years go by, guy's gone, budget season rolls up. Like, well, that guy's gone. Bam. And it saves, $50,000 to $100,000 every way. So it really brings down your budget.
But then it also hurts your workforce and hurts on getting things done.
That's
I'm not disagreeing.
No, I'm just saying that's just if we were that's very asinine to think. I mean, it's
luckily didn't rain. The two gentlemen at the cemetery, Joe and Gary, helped out tremendously. I mean, they drove and everything else. It wasn't for them guys. I mean, I would have done half. So that added two people right there. But luckily, the cemetery was growing. So there was, you know, I was lucky enough for them to come help us.
But this budget is based on a four-person DPW. What's your budget based on?
Four-person and like five total with the rough and
buff. Even though there's three people there now working with you, I'm not,
including myself, the three.
The budget's based on paying five. See, I just didn't want to get to, we're not adding more people to DB. I didn't want anyone stepping out thinking we're adding more people.
But is there room for the two more that you do?
Another, am I ready to pay $200,000 for two more?
Okay, well,
no.
Well, if you want more work done, or if you want to work done in general, then.
I think that's what it's coming down, and I might interrupt and waste more of our time. Through
discussion, by the way.
It is, but so through, you know, through the year, you know, the previous year, moving up into this position that we're at today, we'll sit down, and Mr. Greeno, you've said it before. It's like, we need to do this, we need to do that, we need to do ditching, we need to do tree cutting, we need to do paving, we need to, you know, we need to do more. Without staff and without money, you can't do more.
So, I totally agree.
Like I know you're agreeing, and I'm just saying, if the board wants to do more, you have to pay for more. If you're happy with the way it is, then come April, we can't sit around the table and say, well, we need to do this and we need to do that. We need, because you've already decided this is where you're happy with. So if you want more, you got to pay for more.
And what a lot of people don't understand is 3 days a week, two of these DPW guys are sitting at the dump working. So that's another task that they have to take care of. So there's very little road work, actual road work that gets done. And no fault of those guys. They work hard. But they can't be everywhere. I know this. People got to understand that.
Okay, so now.
Sorry, I'm just
going to check. No, it's good to understand everything, but at the end of the day, we're back here. We're going to do some paving. There's going to be some ditch work done. And then jump down into the reason I came up with a number like 8,000 is I looked at under winter work, salt. We showed an increase from 60 to 65,000 for regular salt. That's the 030-5140-2110 thing. And then I saw underneath it that we were going to liquid the brine. There was 8,000 in here for brine. I'm saying, I don't think last winter we did it. Did we do any brine last winter?
Sure.
But we used, because I had zero in my budget and zero, I'm just looking at, yeah, so we used the regular salt made brine.
Don't we buy that pro mill down there? We were spending salt money to buy that pro mill to spray roads. We use that for snow and ice control, and we spray the dirt for the two for dust control.
Because I was trying to, when I looked at the reason I looked at the 8,000, I saw zero was the actual for 23, 24, 25, 26 on the sheet I'm looking at.
Yeah, that liquid that we were buying, we were taking it out of the salt line.
And that's good. And because then I thought I had that explanation for it. So I said, when I asked Joe earlier this week, I said, okay, then why are we adding 8,000 more? Why are we adding 8,000 more in salt? We had a pretty almost traditional winter of last year. We have quite a bit of snow and we had quite a bit of salt. What are we anticipating why we need 8,000? I don't take the 65,000 that we have under regular salt. If you want to go buy the stuff like you have where Sarah, I'll go buy it. I want to take that 8,000 and put it up there for your under your digit. I don't want to take it away from you, but I'm saying I think it's more realistic that I put it, move it up there. And we did just fine with 60,000. I don't know what the it looks like the actual for 25 was 68, so that might have to increase a little. I don't know. You know, you had your other little thing of what they use.
But I think, like last year, I think we used roughly 650 tons of salt. And I don't know the price on it, but right now it's gotten a little over $10 a ton.
Did you use all that salt up from last year? Did you use every bit of it?
Yeah.
I didn't have an actual yet for last year. I'm saying whatever you use, that's the number I have for regular salt. And if it's and if you need an extra 2,000 of that 8,000, that's fine. Put it in because I want you to have the right salt. But this is not a year to add more to the salt line. Let's put what's left up under the ditching line.
And well, you have to add more to the salt because of the price increase.
Yeah. And they and the sixth what they added the $5,000 wasn't enough.
Oh.
That's a pretty expensive salt if it's not the pricing. That doesn't cover price increase.
Well, 700 tons is just $10 a ton. How much is that?
I don't know. But that's an 8.3% increase. Your salt went up over 8%.
Well, it was 80 tons, and now it's almost $100 a ton.
It's $7,000.
Yeah, 10, 7 grand.
So I'm just trying to understand the numbers, and when I see that, I'm saying if that 65 needs to be 70, you're saying
the increase at 700 ton, the increase is $7,000.
And take what?
So we go 67.
So put 5,000 up there and put 3,000 under ditching, and that way you kept left ditching at the same as you had a year ago in your budget.
That makes sense.
But I'm just trying to understand the number thing. Not trying to be
no
argument.
I get it. What do you want?
You're keeping the nut. I'm not taking money away from you. I'm just saying.
Just get your 3,000 back for ditching.
Yeah, if you're your 3,000. I'm trying to find 3,000 for ditching, and then I'm coming down here saying that this line item of 030-5140-21.3 that has been 000 all along. Maybe we'd like to put something in there, but I'm saying this in the year, we put it in there. Let's we seem to have worked out okay with that other line item. Let's do it another year. Next year, when we don't have the new contract and the other hits, then we can come talk about something in there. That's all I'm looking for, Nate.
They want to put 5 grand. Raise the salt to 70 and take the 3 grand and put in ditching?
Yeah, that's all I'm proposing.
3 in ditching?
No, I'm looking around. I'm saying, folks, don't let me.
No, I like you said, you're not getting worried about anything. You're just keeping something the same. That's all you're doing. You're keeping
just,
the same.
And hopefully we have a good winter. Hopefully we use way less salt on Scotch Hill.
But last winter was a pretty representative winter. So
and
if we have one similar to last winter, we should be good.
According to the outlook, it's supposed to be a pretty mild one, but that's here. That's the only job you could be wrong all the time is weatherman. So
I know I jumped from summer work to winter work because the two of them, those are the two areas, the two of them tied together, and you had to touch both of them. But anything?
That liquid that we buy, it should be kind of, I guess you can take it out of the salt. But couldn't we jump on this? Because we got $8,000 in sand.
Do we have sand from last year? You won't need more sand?
There's a lot of sand down there.
You got tons of sand. You don't need more sand?
Could you take half of that out then?
That's what I was wondering about.
Put the 8,000 back down.
4,000 out and keep 4,000 for the sand and put 4,000.
Yeah, I hate to zero sand out, but I mean, if he's not going to use it, why pay? Yeah, I agree.
At least leave half and take another half and put it somewhere else. Where do you think you should use it? Where do you think you could put it? Would be. I'm sorry.
I think
you
want it in liquid salt.
Yeah, I wanted the liquid. That's where
take the 8 grand, turn it into 4, so that everyone's happy, and give you 4 into liquid.
Yeah,
Well, does that get you at least some? Again, I'm not.
Yeah, and we're going to do. Or, yeah, over.
And if you needed a little more liquid salt, steal from your 70K that you've got for regular salt, then I'm not.
So salt is going to be 70, sand is going to be 4, and where are we taking the 3 to put into the ditching?
We took it out of the original 8 that we took out of the
chloride.
The chloride. So you go back up, and now once you took that out, you're going to put change sand. You said the 4?
Yeah. And
we put 3,000 up in the ditching, and we're going to put 4,000 instead of 8,000 from the sand. We're going to put the 4,000 back into the liquid.
To keep it at 8,000, right?
Yeah. Well, no, it doesn't. No. It's 4K for the sodium chloride. Yeah.
Is that the CaCl? That's the
calcium
chloride.
Okay.
030-5140-21.3.
Yep.
So the changes it looks like I have. Let's see if I can get through this. I think summarize, see if I'm right. Summer works, we changed the outside road work to 200K from the 248. Mm-hmm. Ditching, we put 3,000.
Mm-hmm.
We came down to regular salt, 03-5140-21.1 to 70K. Sand, we moved down from 8,000 to 4,000. And we put 4,000 back into the calcium chloride.
But my question is, why are we putting anything in sand? We're not going to use it. We got a big pile. That's the weak
deal. I'll take that 4,000 and set it right over here towards the
I don't think we don't need to buy any sand this year, do we, Nate?
No.
Okay.
Can we zero sand out? I'm looking to you, Joe, because you have some hard time burning zeroing out.
It gives me heartburn. Yeah, let's zero it out.
It was zeroed out in 2025, so it's been done before.
Yeah, let's do it.
From an accounting perspective, why do we tease these out when it's all winter road treatment?
So, just to know where your money's being spent. So you use more.
But does it limit Nate and where he's spending money?
No,
we're bottom line budget.
So essentially 74,000 altogether.
So we got we managed to get $4,000.
Yeah.
We're only need about 1,000 and look like I probably don't. I might get the 5,000 back. Okay. Anything on summer and winter other than what we just talked about?
God, I hope not.
Man, that was painful.
Difficult one to get through. Everything else.
I'm not saying it's not. It's just I want to help Nate, and it's
just why it's the problem.
It's hard to figure
out. Are you comfortable, Nate? Are you comfortable with that? I sometimes can get a little pushy. So.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to go for public work buildings. Anything else to talk about there? You're going to notice there was a pretty good increase in buildings. And just for everyone to understand, we haven't, correct me if I'm wrong, you're trying to keep, you're moving into a new building and the power and fuel and everything, but we don't just turn the switch off in the old building. There's a certain amount of power and fuel as you're doing this transition, this happening. So if buildings looks a little high, we are trying to do two things at once. How am I doing? I'm looking at Joe and Nate to say,
yeah,
a lot.
Mostly right, yes. We will keep the former town garage will remain heated just so the pipes don't burst and our insurance doesn't go through the roof. But also the police department's moving into that facility with their cars.
We have another building, what they call the bus bar, that also has heat. That will be, that heat will be terminated. So we won't have heat in that building. So we are cutting at least one building out of fuel cycle.
So the old town shed is now becoming the storage for the police department's cars?
Correct.
Only in the wintertime or all the time?
No, always. It's easy for them. So their current building, they've got to kind of jockey cars around to get them in and out.
And where is that?
Right. It's at the bus bar down by Public Works. Yeah, it's a better facility for them, just for the management of their vehicles.
Now, is there any upgrade needed to keep that up and going? Okay,
it's another discussion, another battle down the road.
I shouldn't have said anything. Because
we really, this it's going to take probably a couple of years to just figure out just what the true costs are after this move, because we're in the new building. Is everyone okay with the buildups?
Yeah.
Or any other question? I guess. Public Works equipment.
Yeah, that line 030-5360-68 repairs and maintenance. Is that the contracted services if we have to have outside repair work done?
It's a little bit of everything.
It's repairs and maintenance.
Yeah, that'd be for
gotcha.
Yeah.
I would imagine like if we're doing our own, really that salary of the top two linemen there.
Yeah. The one that jumped out at me was up on top at 030-5360-10.1, the equipment overtime. When I looked at the 233.3% increase, it was sitting at a low number. I know it went from an increase by 2,100. And I asked the question, I think, in Joe, when we were planning on, we have a lot of equipment. They're planning on older equipment to work on it, and they're going to use overtime to work on it because of the staffing. I mean, I don't know, Nate, if I'm bungling up the reason for that, but that's
true.
Okay.
Yeah, we're already 132% of our budget spent.
But we're spending the money, and it's going to reflect what we're spending already. So, the only thing I ask is, try to keep that overtime to a minimum. Every time I see that, I get a little heartburn. I go, wait a minute, I'm paying time and a half and double time for work. I'm trying to budget for straight time, but I understand it. We have a lot of older equipment, and you can't get the work done during the week and fix the equipment at the same time. So wait, how are you going? You're trying to turn three people in working like six.
Well, this is the thing. But is it cheaper to pay overtime or have more employees?
Well, when I think of wage benefits, there's a big when you said that, put a head in and it's $100,000. I that's the reason you pay a little overtime. I don't know. Depends on the employee, I guess. If you want to say something, tell me.
When do we have the conversation about hiring someone?
Right now,
or budget for.
Do we have an open position right now that isn't filled? I don't want to have a conversation about adding additional head until I'm operating at full staff. And how much of this year have we operated at full staff?
Yeah. Okay, so that conversation we had earlier, that past select boards would year over year position would. Someone would leave and the position would be cut from the budget. That does not include the two that are currently unfilled and budgeted for.
No,
correct. Okay.
We just lost an employee like last week. And I think we may have hired one this week.
Which is a good thing. If you're looking, remember when we're talking about a DPW staff of five?
Yes.
And before you'd want to. We can have it. You're saying now is that you want to talk about
adding additional one. How much Rich said you know, about
I'd want to look at different towns and their DPWs and their road crews and how many are working. And it'd be nice, but I mean, I think that's something we can't. I don't think we can afford.
But he is make light work, so.
They tell them only, I think they got there's five just for the town, so.
Yeah.
I don't understand if there's five budget for Kate just advertise and hire.
We've been doing that most of the year.
Even at full staff, it's not enough.
It is tough. You get someone working, and they can go work for V-Trans and make more money, or that next door they offer them another dollar an hour, and they take the person that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a tougher market.
Rich, am I missing something?
Got a question?
Yeah, we have two guys at the dump 3 days a week, and then at least one day they have to go down in between and clean up and whatnot. Am I right?
Yeah.
Fill me in if there's
that. Yeah, buddy, we'll go down there. The guy that just left, he went down there and he cleaned up. He worked down there pretty much 70% of the time, I'll say. And he comes with us and he bounced around, bounced about position.
Mm-hmm. The thing of it is, they're at transfer station. But that budget, that money comes out of the DPW budget, but then transfers back.
No,
but it's still the same people. So we don't have the people to do the work. Is what I'm trying to say.
But I don't want to hire DPW people to work transfer. I think that's why you're shaking your head. Transfer station is.
They have their own pot of money.
We'll be talking about there.
Correct, but it's the same people.
And if those people, that's why when you're talking about needing to add people now, well, that's because the people that would be working now doing some things are, to your point, are at the transfer station. We got to work a little bit on that, the other side. But I think it'd be way too premature to talk seriously about adding another day.
Let's try to get a full staff.
I want to see full staff and see what I get from a full staff. And before you look, they need them.
We definitely need more help. I mean, we work down at the transfer station. I mean, today there was somebody down there from DPW all day. And there will be for the next week and a half. One of them has to be out. So DPW workers have to be down there now to work.
So if we, again, if your DPW people were actually working, DPW.
Yeah, but that's impossible though, because if people take off in the transfer station, we have to.
Yeah, but the discussion, I think, rather than hiring more DPW, would be how do we, is it similar to the police department with some part timers that when people are going to be out and everything, you get someone.
In other words,
I don't want to pay.
In other words, if we have three people dedicated to the highways, and byways and wherever for the whole year. So we're going to have three people working on them roads every single day of the year. We do not have that now.
But if you,
we can't have it now the way things are set up.
Now, did you say that transfer station has its own budget?
They do. We'll be talking transfer station.
If they have that, then why are you sending guys down there to work?
Because when people are out, you gotta operate. They're back. But there might
be. For example, if I were transfer station down there today, transfer station budget pays for me being down there. They don't come out of DPW.
They don't have. Per diem people that can go in there and do that. So you're not.
No, there's
being short staffed on doing what you got to get done.
There's just two guys down there. Like I said, that one guy is gone. If I had gone for a couple of weeks, DPW worker has to be down there.
So now it's just, if he's down there, it's just two of you do it. Wow.
Right. And that's where I'd be looking at somewhere. The conversation I'd rather have is a conversation with Joe and the guys around hey, do we have like the people with the summer help that were bailing his element? Instead of your DPW people, then there's some of those that can come.
But we're not budgeted that either, though.
The money's transfer station is got a budget for people and manpower. It won't come out of your budget. It should be. I'm just saying, if you want, I think a discussion around how we're going to staff so that we can keep DPW and DPW, it won't happen all the time, but for the majority of the time, there might be a more cost-effective way of doing it.
Just throwing it out there, we're sitting on a goldmine of adolescent young men that are the working age that don't mind getting their hands dirty up here to the high school. How about some part-time? I have some boys on the football team that, you know, they love to work. They want to make some money.
I'm sure, Joe, you've got thoughts and you've got things, but that's a different conversation. Okay. I'm bringing this back to, I want